Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverSports.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverSports.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
Bruce team, assemble!
Here we go. What do we got going on at Denver Fan, DenverSports.com, and the front page? We've got Deion Sanders making the rounds as he's promoting his new book. Jake Shapiro writing about what Deion has going on. The new book, Elevate and Dominate, 21 Ways to Win On and Off the Field. Deion making the tour is on the Today Show. He was on with Jimmy Fallon. You know, he did come out and say, and he is on record as saying, kind of like what Nick Saban said the other day about how, you know, NIL is bad for college football.
It's bad for business.
Deion has said the same thing, by the way. Deion has said that there are some real problems, obstacles, about where the direction of college sports is going,
mm-hmm.
that worries him. But here's the difference. He's able to acclimate to it in a way that nobody else can. And you can understand why guys like a Nick Saban are struggling with it, getting out of coaching because of it. Whereas Deion Sanders just, he's such a natural. Remember the jealousy, the envy that we felt last year as Deion was making his mark at CU, mm-hmm. and all the TV shows, the game days were coming out to Boulder, and you could just see, you could just hear it in the voices of Dan Lanning at Oregon, right? You could just hear the envy, like, you know, this guy's got such an advantage over us because he's so natural at it. Can you imagine what other coaches around college football are seeing when they see Deion on the Today Show or the Tonight Show, and they're just like,
Right.
It's a brand new world in college football, and this guy's better at it than anybody else.
Yeah, you think if Dan Lanning wrote a book?
Right. Is he going to be on with Jimmy Fallon?
No. Is he going to go on the Today Show? No, he's not. Winning Culture by Dan Lanning. Yeah, nobody cares.
Now, I did like what Deion had to say in one of his stops. And Jake passes along this quote, talking about last year and looking ahead to this year. We weren't prepared. We didn't have the ability inside the locker room and at some positions, including myself. This year, we're ready. We're reloaded. We're revamped. We went and got those places where we lacked, like the offensive and defensive line, and I cannot wait for this season. Which is great because last year was all about creating expectations. Now this year is about delivering. And last year they were 4-8. For me, flip it around. The floor starting is 8-4. To me, anything less than 8-4 is a failure of a season.
7-5?
Failure.
7-5 in a bowl game?
No.
It's one game.
No. If Deion,
it's a close one.
Nope. If Deion's able to create this much hype and get this many guys to jump in the portal and come here. He's got Shador Sanders, who many people feel will be the number one, could be the number one overall pick in the draft next year. Nope. 8-4 minimum. Honestly, if they're not winning 10 games next year.
The thing you got to,
I think it's, yeah. I think
the
it's
thing
a
you got to love about Deion is, yeah, there's, it's wrought with peril. There's all kinds of problems when you talk about the college football landscape and the NIL and everything else. But guess what? It's the system we have, and I'll embrace it. I'm not going to shy away from it. I'm not going to, you know, denounce it. I'm just going to tell you, hey, this is what it is, and we got to play within these parameters. And you know what one thing Deion's always been able to do? Play.
Yep.
He gets it. He knows how to play.
Yep. I said it before, I'll say it again. Buff fans, you got to be pinching yourself because A little over a year ago, you were one of the most irrelevant programs in all of America.
Right.
And now you've got a guy who is tailor-made, built for the new age of college sports.
Do you believe?
Literally overnight.
Yeah, I believe.
How cool is that?
It's really good.
The Nuggets' path to winning the number one seed in the West is looking clearer. Jake Shapiro writing about that as well. And he just kind of puts it all together. And if you look at where the Nuggets are, the eye test, but also some of the numbers, they all bear out that the Nuggets should end up as the number one seed in the West. Man, if that happens, game over.
10-1 out of the break, right?
I was always on the mind that, hey, anywhere, anytime, I don't care if the Nuggets don't have home court, I trust this team on the road. I would have no issues with them going into a series not having home court. With home court? I know, JC Cat, and oh, you can't talk that way. You can't disrespect the other opponents. Fine, I'm going to disrespect the other opponents. There's nobody in the West beating this team healthy four times if the Nuggets have home court. No way.
Agreed. And I think we've pretty much put to rest the Celtics are, you know, a viable threat. The way the Nuggets play the Celtics, they just don't have an answer. They don't have an answer for Jokic. Tatum shrinks. I mean, that's pretty much it.
Jake points out that the Nuggets have only one back-to-back left. They have the fifth easiest schedule remaining. Their one non-back-to-back matchup occurs late in March, and it'll be the lone road game among 7 of 8 at home. That's with Minnesota coming in here. So for the back-to-back of their final back-to-back, the Wolves will be on the second night of a back-to-back in 2 of the 3 matchups that they have. So it's looking good. It's looking like it's going to happen. They're locked in. And I think the road to the NBA Finals will once again go through Denver.
I agree.
And without sounding too arrogant or cocky, nobody's beating them.
I honestly don't sweat anybody in the East. There's a couple teams that will give them a tussle, but that's about it. Phoenix, probably give them a tussle.
The West is harder than the East.
Yeah, I believe that.
Although, if you watched any of the Phoenix Celtics game last night, I checked in on that one just to kind of watch Phoenix a little bit because they got all three of them together now. Booker, Durant, and Beal. And that was one of those nights where the Celtics are downright scary because
they're hitting their threes.
Oh, they were hitting their threes. And when they hit their threes, they start rolling and they are almost unbeatable if they're hitting their threes. But the problem for them is that if the threes aren't going in, you draw them into a half court game, you make them execute, you make them run an offense, and all of a sudden they tighten up.
The other thing scary about them, they got a couple guys on the all-Timby team. They can be intimidating.
Couple guys? We know about Derek White. Colorado guy, but on the all-Timby team.
All-Timby team.
Yep.
I think there's one more guy that I saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came off the bench late, and I was like, is that guy an all-Timby? I think he might have been an all-Timby. I'm not sure. Derek White can play some defense now.
Derek White's a good player.
Yeah, he is.
What a great story that is.
Did he go to South?
He did not go to South. He went to Legend.
Legend. Did you know that Philip Lindsay went to South?
No way!
Yeah.
Did he live in his parents' basement?
Yep, he did.
No way!
Unbelievable. Yep.
No way!
Yep.
I didn't know that. What a great story. That story ought to get out more. Will Peterson writing about the Avalanche. The Avs might mess around and win their division again. Because, yeah, while Dallas and Winnipeg and some of these other teams have been kind of flopping around here of late, the Avs are gotten hot, and they're in position to take over and win their division as well.
What's hotter, the Avs, the Nuggets out of the break at 10-1, or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Well, Jimmy Garoppolo is fine.
He's hot, though.
The Avs aren't fine. The Nuggets aren't fine. They're just hot. But you're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo. He's
Jimmy
fine.
Garoppolo's hot.
You know, you're a different kind of hot here. We're talking about fine versus hot. But the Avs, as of right now.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo toting the wagon?
As of right now, the Avalanche lead their division.
They do?
They do, as of right now.
Third the other day?
I know. Well, they've won five in a row. Hey, you put together a five-game winning streak in hockey, you can you can zoom up the standings.
That's 10 points.
Exactly. So while the Avs have won five in a row, Dallas has lost two in a row. Winnipeg is basically playing 500 hockey of late. And so the Avs now with 89 points are tied with Dallas with 89, but they're ahead of the Stars because they've played one less game. So the Avs right now lead their division. So, whereas the other day, and you're right, how quickly it can change. Just the other day, I updated the standings for you and said that the if the playoffs were to begin today, the Avs would have been opening the playoffs on the road at Winnipeg. Okay?
Okay.
As of right now, if the playoffs were to begin, the Avalanche would be playing, let's see, they would be playing, they'd be playing Nashville. Nashville's actually hot. Nashville's one of the hottest teams in the NHL.
How so?
Because they're one of the hottest teams in the NHL.
I mean.
What do you mean, how so?
What's their record lately?
Oh, they've.
You gave me, Dallas has lost two of the last, whatever. And Habs have won five in a row. And then you say Nashville's the hottest team. I mean, is it because they signed Jimmy Garoppolo? They've become the hottest team?
No.
Or
Nashville has won, 3, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11 of their last 13. And their two losses were overtime losses, OTLs.
So they got a point.
So they've actually had a point in 13 straight games.
Well, they've had at least a point.
At least a point in 13 straight games.
Okay.
So that would be the first round matchup right now.
They are hot.
Oof. Would that be like this year's version of Seattle?
I'm still nervous about the Kraken.
Still nervous about the Kraken.
So that's when we had the Kraken guy on and we kind of giggled.
We did. We did. We had the...
And he was just like, okay, we'll see.
We were.
We should call that guy and just apologize.
We never did. Yeah. It was a former NHL player. We had him on, and he was like, well, the Kraken are doing this. And then we're like, ha, 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 ha.
I was rude.
Yeah, we're like, oh, that's cute.
That's so cute.
And then they scored the first goal every time. We lost.
I know. From Jim... Right on, Evans. Like you, my floor for the Buffs is 8-4. But Prime is awesome and has brought millions to the university, not to mention a complete program revival. Now he has to prove he can get it done on the field.
We coming!
I always loved when Joel would come on and just be his snarky self about the importance of college football to a university and all that it brings and blah, 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 blah. And people would roll their eyes and he'd be mad at Joel. And enrollment's up, 25% or something? I mean, him walking onto that campus, out of state enrollment is way up. Like, people want to come to see you. And it's because of the eyeballs and the attention that Deion Sanders, at one point, back-to-back weekends, ESPN and Fox, Big Noon kickoff and ESPN, we're coming to your city. I mean, everybody was there 2 weeks in a row. Yep. They were doing, Stephen A. was up there with his sniffly nose and his allergies
his headaches,
diarrhea
and all that stuff.
He didn't seem to have a problem coming to Denver when it was football season,
right.
But it's the NBA championships that he just has. He's allergic to NBA championship season.
When it's time to go, it's time to go.
It's all the grass is in June, September. Late September is not as much.
That proves my
point. The grass is green and the cows are chirping.
That proves my point that Stephen A is a good company man. And he understands that it's about the clicks. It's about the eyeballs. And Deion Sanders brings that. There's a magnetic personality. There's a force there with Deion that people are attracted to. People are curious. So Stephen A is fine with that. But the Nuggets, there is no magnetic force. There is no sizzle. And it's fine for us. We love it. And there are plenty of really good basketball fans out there who love what the Nuggets do. Both fans of the game and people who played the game, comment on the game. They love the Nuggets. But for a guy like Stephen A. Smith, it's about clicks, it's about ratings, it's about people tuning in, and he figures Nuggets aren't that.
Yeah.
Lakers are. Like, just for an example, right? I happen to tune over at one point. We've got ESPN on in the morning. And they were talking about why aren't the Cowboys making more moves in free agency? Who gives a rip? That's the Cowboys.
Right. They think, hey, man, you know, even though we screwed things up last year in the playoff run, we have a really good team. Why do we need to go? We like the players that we have. Why do we have to go splurge on a bunch of, why do we have to pay A-plus money for B players? Personally, like I know it's Cowboys and it's a talking topic, but how many people who have won the NFL offseason free agency style have actually produced anything in the regular season? Can you name one team that won the offseason acquisition period that won anything?
I think the last time I can think of one, maybe the Rams, because that Matthew Stafford deal was considered a big deal.
Okay.
Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford. But that was just one trade.
Right.
But look at the teams that have won. The Chiefs usually go dormant during the offseason. We don't hear about them that much.
Yeah.
Right?
The big offseason acquisition, if you will, for the Chiefs was re-signing Chris Jones.
Yeah.
The big money. That's a huge deal for them.
Yep.
Because as my buddy Trey Wingo always says, a corner can eliminate one receiver. A great pass rush eliminates all the receivers.
Yeah. And they restructured Mahomes' deal again. Remember when he signed that deal several years ago and everyone came out, oh, that's going to cripple right. The Chiefs. It's like $500 million. It's going to cripple the Chiefs. And I think it was you right away who said, do you realize how easy that contract is going to be able to restructure every couple of years?
It's
tailor-made for it.
I want two big dinner bets that I've never actually cashed in on from somebody who used to work at the station here. Small, rides a bike a lot, eats mung beans.
Writes manifestos.
Yeah. No way will they sign him. You want to bet? Get him before the season starts. That ain't going to happen. Tell you that right now. Ain't going to happen. Ding, 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 ding. Shanahan's dinner for two.
You haven't gotten paid off on that yet?
No, never.
Come on now. Let's go.
Never did.
You will. He's a man of his word.
Yeah, no, I don't have any problem with it. He would if I called him up and said, let's have dinner, you owe me.
What do you got, Fever?
Real quick, for the whole free agency discussion, have as a team, one free agency, gone on to be successful or win a Super Bowl. The Broncos 2014, they got Emmanuel Sanders, Aqib Talib, T.J. Ward, and I'm blanking on the name.
Darren Seward?
No, the edge rusher from
DeMarcus
Cowboys.
Ware.
DeMarcus Ware, yeah.
The Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that guy. God. And Total brain fart. Got 34, though.
Yeah, that was
the 2014 offseason?
Yeah.
And then, but that was a year later that they won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
So that offseason, but the 2014, well, that's when they started off hot, like 10-1, and then lost to the Rams. Remember that game against the Rams? And then they kind of cooled off.
Well, that was kind of the
Peyton. That's
Peyton
where
Manning
Peyton
falling
Manning,
off the cliff type thing.
Yeah, that's where.
But to your point, yeah, that's a case where that was back when John Elway was a good general manager.
Oof.
Well, see, people
text
get,
from Mickey in three.
People get upset that whenever you criticize John Elway, you're like, well, he brought us all these Super Bowls. And yes, I'm not arguing anything of that. He was I'm not going to argue what he was as a player and what he meant here as a player. And I'm not going to argue that for the first half of his run here as a general manager, guy was nails. guy was on a path to becoming a Hall of Famer as a general manager as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be honest and real and understand that a big reason, a big, big reason why the Broncos are in the current plight that they find themselves is because of John Elway.
The draft's a bit.
You can't blame it all on George Payton. You can blame some of it on George Payton and feel free to. I'm not going to stop you, but a large part of the reason why the Broncos were driven into the ditch is because of John Elway. Yeah,
this is really my fault.
That's just a fact. That's
the picks, when you don't have anybody left on your roster from the 2019, 2020, 2018, 19, and 20, there's like one guy left on your – that should be – that you should have – let's say you should have eight or nine, like, players that are core players – out of those three drafts, eight or nine core players, of those nine core players, you should have three of them that are all pro players. And then you should have another four players that are contributing, like big time contributors to your football team. So you should have 12 total big time. You should have 12 total, like big time players, starters and contributors.
2020 draft, Elway's last. Nobody is here. 2019. Nobody is here. 2018. With Josie Jewell leaving, nobody is here.
Holy Moses. I thought there was one guy. When did Cortland Sutton get drafted?
I'm sorry.
Cortland.
From 28, Cortland's still here.
Okay.
Yes, that's
Welcome
it.
Welcome to Bronco land.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
one,
it.
You got one dude.
So from 2018, 2019, 2020, to your point that if the Broncos were a contending football team right now, you would have from those drafts upwards of 10 guys, 10 to 12 guys that would be the core, the guts, the stars of your football team, and you got one in Cortland Sutton.
All right, I want you to do me a favor.
Sure.
During the break.
So again, the two things can be true at the same time. John Elway was a terrific general manager for the first half of the time he was here. It does not change the fact that he was awful the second half.
Well, yeah.
It's true.
See, even he agrees.
Even he agrees. You know, get him in an honest moment. He'll agree. Is it just me, Friday, giving you a chance to get those hot sports opinions off your chest? Plenty of opinion, plenty of humor, plenty of snark. Avs, Nuggets, Broncos, college hoops, CU, CSU fans. It's all fair game. Get out.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
Fine, it's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Well, we have big news regarding the possibility of the Broncos trading up to get a quarterback. That challenge just got tougher because the Minnesota Vikings have made a trade.
Have they now?
Yes. The Vikings have traded the number 42 pick in the draft this year, number 188, and a 2025 second round pick to the Texans. And they've received Houston's first round pick, number 23, and then a later round pick in the sixth or seventh round. But they've received the first round pick.
Yes.
And so the Vikings now have the 11th overall pick and the 23rd overall pick. This is an obvious
moving up
move to accumulate more picks to move up.
Where are they going?
Where are they going?
They are like the Jeffersons.
They are moving on up.
Moving on up.
Well, yeah, well, let's try to piece this together. It certainly seems we know Caleb Williams is going to be the first quarterback to go.
Correct.
Are you, and you looked at all the quarterbacks, did you see enough in Jaden Daniels to believe that Daniels will be the second quarterback?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go there. Williams will go first, then Jaden Daniels will go second. Then to me, I think it's open for debate who goes third.
Correct.
J.J. McCarthy or Drake May. Or maybe even Bo Nix, because as I talked yesterday, J.J. McCarthy's stock is certainly going up. Bo Nix seems to be kind of steady. There isn't a whole lot of being said about him, but he's not trending backwards. Drake May is trending backwards. But I'll ask you. You've done Viking games.
Mm-hmm.
You've had a chance to talk with Kevin O'Connell, the head coach there, the offensive guy. If they're looking to move up for a quarterback, who do you think it is?
It's a great question.
Is it J.J. McCarthy? Is it Drake May? Is it Bo Nix?
Give me this. Where's our draft?
I got it right here. Here, you take that one. I got another one.
Oh.
Boom.
Draft talker.
We're two over here. I'm blaming on Dover.
Okay. So, would the Patriots be willing to trade out? They're not going to trade out of 3 to go back to 11, right?
Doubt it. Unless they aren't interested in taking a quarterback.
Arizona. That's who they're making the deal with. They're going to move up to get. They're going to move up for Arizona's pick. They'll swap 4 for 11, and they'll throw in 23 in there.
And maybe another sweetener.
And maybe a second rounder or something. Right.
To move up to 4, you think?
To move up to 4.
To take who?
I don't know.
Well, that's the one I'm asking. Is it McCarthy? Is it Drake May? Is it? I'm asking you based on your knowledge of Kevin O'Connell.
Well, my knowledge of Kevin O'Connell is he's one of those guys that has a lot of responsibility at the quarterback position at the line of scrimmage. So one of the things that drives me crazy in today's NFL, and Kevin is definitely guilty of this, want to be in a premium play all the time. Always want to be in a premium play. That word gets thrown out there a lot. You know what a premium play is? It's because everybody's got a can it package. So you're canning, you know, a pass to a run or a run to a different run. It's basically a check with me package. So you're throwing off some, you know, trip strike nasty, H left outside, two jet branch buffalo, can it with 18 handoff force.
I know, you're trying to sound like Klatt, but you just...
No, I'm not trying.
Not as effortless as Klatt.
No, well, of course.
Klatt makes the ladies in Fort Collins swoon.
Well, I mean, Klatt is way better at that than I am. I've never had a call play in a huddle. I just know what it means.
You make the ladies in Byers swoon.
Where's Byers?
That's way out east.
Do the ladies really swoon in Byers?
I don't know, but if they would, it would take you to do it.
I just have the feeling that ladies in Byers are
probably made of a little
sterner stuff.
Sterner stock.
Yeah, they're
handsome.
They're still washing their clothes on a board.
Handsome women out there.
Yes. Yes. Good stock. Very strong. They're shoveling right now.
They are, yes, and I admire them for it.
So
yes.
He wants a guy that can operate from the line of scrimmage. You know, we need to be in a premium play. We need which I just think is garbage, but I don't believe necessarily in the way a lot of teams do that. But that said, Kevin is a really smart guy. He's a really good coach. That feels like the play to me. And then it just depends. Is it J.J.? It's either J.J. or Drake.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
I would say so.
Listen, even though I don't like Drake, dude, there's no. The guy's 6'6", 250, can run. He's got, you know.
Joel Klatt said he's a better passing Josh Allen coming out of college. Drake May.
Yeah. And I still don't like, mechanically, I don't like him at all. But you know me, I mean, listen, if this was an exact science, remember, like, there's all kinds of guys that do this for a living. They get paid to analyze the draft. They're all wrong.
So, bigger picture here. We are seeing play out yet again, despite all the evidence to the contrary that this is not the way to do it, but we're seeing once again the rush, the herd mentality to overdraft these quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and it's going to happen again. And I think you're right about if it's Arizona, if Minnesota is gaining draft ammunition to move up as far as number four to Arizona, maybe the Chargers at five, but I think you're looking at quarterbacks probably going 1, 2, 3, 4.
I do too.
Which means that if you're the Broncos sitting at 12, let's say you like Bo Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And the other four quarterbacks, I'm gonna take Michael Penix, I'm gonna leave him out of the conversation. I'm gonna say Michael Penix until proof otherwise that Michael Penix is gonna be a end of the first round or second or third round pick. Fair enough?
Yeah.
The conversation? So if Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, and J.J. McCarthy are basically all going in the top four or five, and the Broncos are saying that they're at 12, what do you think the odds are that a Bo Nix, let's say, goes unpicked, untouched between, let's say, 4 or 5 and 12?
I don't think there's any chance of that.
Somebody else jumps up.
Well, the Giants are not going to continue on with Daniel Jones. Isn't that apparent?
Yes. Well, I think I saw yesterday that Drew Lock, in talking about why he picked the Giants in free agency, was because he was told he'll have a legitimate chance to start. What does that tell you?
Well, I mean,
they already have Daniel Jones. They're paying Daniel Jones.
They can't keep Daniel Jones, can they?
I don't think so. So
you'll have a legitimate chance to start for six games while we're warming up our quarterback.
So we could be
unless they go with that, hey, that philosophy of we're going to draft a guy, but we're not going to put him right. We're not putting him right out there. We're going to sit him for a year.
So as somebody, you know how I feel about this. Stupid reaction of teams and the overreaction of overdrafting these quarterbacks. I hope this is what's happening again, because if you're right and we're seeing the Vikings accumulate another pick to move up, and if the panic sets in, oh my God, I got to at least get Bo Nix and I got to move up to six. We could have five quarterbacks go in the top six picks, six or seven top picks. Great.
Yeah.
Because you know what that means? Stud football players will be available to the Broncos at 12. Studs.
Get ready for Jared Stidham to lead your Broncos in 2024.
Let's ride.
Yeah. With a quarterback to be picked in the second or third round.
So if in fact five QBs go in the first six picks, Mike, and I believe if you see Minnesota jump up here at some point to 4 or 5, I do believe then the Broncos, it would behoove them to trade out of 12 and accumulate picks, because, my goodness, like, think about it. You accumulate a couple of picks, you still go get, you know, your Michael Pratt or your Spencer Rattler.
Yep. Or maybe Michael Penix.
Or Penix. Maybe you trade back and get Penix and, you know, pick up a stud offensive lineman. Gosh, I love offensive linemen.
I know you do. But it's...
they got some good ones in this class.
I guess that the moral of the story here, the lesson, is that with the Vikings accumulating a first-round pick now, and they now hold the 11th and 23rd picks in the first round, it seems like it's a clear sign they're looking to move up. And if we just take it on faith that the Bears and Commanders and Patriots are all looking for quarterbacks at 1, 2, 3, and Minnesota's looking to move up into the top 4 or 5 to get a fourth quarterback, then you got to believe that fifth quarterback, because panic's going to set in. Mm. You know, panic's going to set in, and somebody's going to try to move up to get that fifth quarterback, Bo Nix. So where does that leave the Broncos, who do not have the draft capital, at least as of right now, to move up? I guess the big question is, well, we'll ask that big question, because there is still one thing that Sean Payton can do to combat what Minnesota is doing. Mm-hmm. And we'll tell you what that is next.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Is it just me Friday? You want to jump in and give us those hot takes before you head off into the weekend on the Avs, Nuggets? Both teams cruising right now. Avs are a wagon.
Yes, they are a wagon.
Big wheels. Big wheels keep turning, rolling downhill. Nuggets 10-1 playing in Austin, Texas tonight against the Spurs, against Winsock.
The Winsock.
That's our new nickname for Victor Wembanyama. He looks like a Winsock out in front of a car dealership.
Yeah, he does.
I just can see him just woo. So you can weigh in on that. College hoops. Go Rams. Go Buffs. Both still in action in their tournaments, playing again later today. Excited about that. And also reacting to the trade in the NFL where the Minnesota Vikings making a deal with the Houston Texans that picks up Houston's first-round pick, number 23 overall. Minnesota already has the 11th pick, so it's a pretty clear indication that they're looking to accumulate picks to move up, ostensibly to take a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean for the Broncos? It would appear, we already know that the Broncos don't have a lot of draft capital, that even before this deal, it was going to be tough to move up. It's even tougher now. So it can still be done, though, Mark. And Sean Payton, this is something you cannot overlook. Sean has shown in the past in New Orleans that he does not have any problem packaging picks, even picks from a future draft,
mm-hmm.
to move up to get the guy he wants. Do you see that possibility in play here? If there's a quarterback he absolutely covets, that he'll say, okay, Minnesota, I see your move. I raise you. And in order to pull this off, you'd have to be willing to give up the top of this year's draft, the top of next year's draft,
right?
Maybe even a little bit more to move ahead. Do you see him?
I don't
being see. That he's been aggressive in the past. Do you see him being that aggressive?
It would counter all the things that they have done so far this offseason, wouldn't it? When you think about not wanting to get up to $10 million for Sam Darnold, not, you know, taking $53 million of Russell Wilson's dead cap money this season, having over $120 million to spend next year on the cap, it would just trying to accumulate some more draft picks, it would just kind of fly in the face of, hey, we'll have more draft capital next year. By the way, this time last year, nobody was talking about Drake May or Jaden Daniels who's transferring, or
yep.
No, nobody was.
That's fair.
But the year that
nobody was talking about Bo Nix. Bo Nix was the guy who couldn't cut it
at Auburn. By the way, nobody was talking about Joe Burrow.
Nope.
Until his last year at LSU, and all of a sudden,
they weren't talking about Joe Burrow until midway.
Right.
It wasn't until like Halloween of his.
Right.
That year.
Same thing happened to Baker Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
He was a second or third rounder. All of a sudden, he became the first rounder.
Agreed.
Same thing happened with Kyler Murray.
Yep.
So I think Sean and George have done this long enough to know that next year there'll be a whole nother crop of can't-miss propositions.
Yep. Always is.
So I don't see them accumulating draft capital and moving up. I don't.
I don't either. Because that would be following the herd. That would be an act of desperation or over-aggressiveness, however you want to look at it,
mm-hmm.
that would seem to fly in the face of his comment at the combine. And I'm going to hold him to that statement that he made at the combine. Johnny, I don't know if you have it handy, that we're smarter than everybody else. But he said it. That's basically right. What he said. And, you know, for those who say, well, we don't hold Sean Payton accountable, I'm holding Sean Payton to that comment. When he's at the combine, he gets up and says, look, I think that we can do this better than a lot of other people do, and I'm kind of counting on that. I'm counting on people not being able to do this as well as I think we can, that being identifying a quarterback.
Right.
So if you are that confident that you're better than most everybody else when it comes to finding a quarterback, are you suddenly going to just jump in with everybody else and give everything up for the next right. couple of years just to try to move up to grab a guy? That doesn't make sense.
Are you jumping in the herd mentality?
Right. Doesn't make sense.
Probably not. Yeah, probably not.
Is it just me or not taking a quarterback this draft would feel a lot like taking Bradley Chubb? Well, that's because you have the benefit of hindsight with how Josh Allen turned out, but let's go back to that day and the days leading up to the draft. Had the Broncos taken Josh Rosen that night, the immediate reaction would have been celebration.
Yeah, best
party. Party in the streets of Denver. We got our
most NFL-ready quarterback in this draft.
Yep.
They'd have taken Baker Mayfield. If they'd have taken
Sam Darnold. Yep. Party in the streets. Here again is Sean at the combine.
Sometimes it's not as difficult as we make it out to be. And then sometimes, listen, it's very difficult. And so I think we'll be really good at this. And I think to some degree we're glad that a lot of people aren't.
Okay. I'll hold you to that.
See, that, I mean, people say that's an arrogant statement. Is it an arrogant statement? Because history would tell you there's a lot of teams that aren't very good at this. I think that's a fair statement.
Well, Sean's never drafted and developed a great quarterback. He did acquire Drew Brees. And along with Drew, they became a very formidable duo. But where is all the evidence that would suggest that Sean is playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers when it comes to identifying quarterbacks?
Well, I don't know that there's any of it. They never needed in his 15 years to draft a quarterback. But you see the history. Most people aren't very good at this. But I've been pretty good, or I feel pretty confident in my ability to evaluate players. And we had Adam Schefter on. Shoot, 2 months ago, said it is uncanny. Sean has been one of the best I've ever talked to in my years as a, you know, reporter. When he says this guy's going to be special, this guy's going to be special. Like, he has been right way more than he's been wrong. So I don't know, man. It just, like, the history of the draft. Why do the same crappy teams always draft in the top 10? Why? Because they're always chasing their past mistakes. You know what happens when you chase past mistakes, Mike?
Keep making more mistakes.
You chase and chase and chase, yeah. And then a position of strength that all of a sudden, 3 years later, you're like, how do all of a sudden we get terrible at right. this position? Well, because you didn't address it, because you were chasing, you know, you drafted receivers every year.
Mm-hmm.
First, second, third, fourth, you know? And the next thing you know, you're like, why are we so bad at this group? D-line or O-line or, you know, running back or whatever.
So, Sean, I stand with you. I'm a stand with Sean guy. I stand with Sean. I believe in you, Sean. But I'm going to hold you to that statement right there. And I don't think being better at this than most everybody else involves giving up two drafts to move up to take a guy. You should be able to do more with less, right? Isn't that the idea?
That is the idea.
Coming up, we'll set the table for the fourth and final hour. Is it just me? Some of the big topics out there that is open for discussion and debate. Reset the Vikings trade and what it might mean for the Broncos moving forward. All that coming up next.